Hello, I'm Judy Connors, Associate Director for Editorial Services at DIA. I'm joined today by Dr. Leslie Fierro, the Fellowship Consultant with the Rutgers Institute for Pharmaceutical Industry Fellowships and a member of the Medical Communications Community at DIA. In March, the Medical Affairs and Scientific Communications 2016 Annual Forum will be held in Kissimmee, Florida. And Leslie is here to discuss with three of her student abstract submitters the topics of their presentations. Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you, Judy. As Judy said, my name is Leslie Fierro, and I'm going to moderate this podcast to introduce you to research that will be presented at the Medical Affairs and Scientific Communications 2016 Annual Forum in Kissimmee, Florida, on March 21st through the 23rd. This meeting, which is held every year in March, is for professionals in the medical information, medical writing, and MSL functional areas to share and hear about advances and best practices in communications with consumers and healthcare professionals. Today we will hear from three postdoctoral PharmD fellows who were selected to present their research at the meeting. First, we will hear from Leanne Liu, who is a fellow in medical information from Sanofi. Her research discusses the approach to shared medical information in joint venture relationships. Next, we will hear from Christina Bundra, a fellow in worldwide medical content at BMS. Christina's research centered around an analysis of efficiencies and best practices of launches in the pharmaceutical industry. Finally, we will hear from Monica Salah, a fellow at Baxalta in global medical information, who will discuss her research on the strength of a call center in the presence or absence of a PharmD degree. Let me first turn it over to Leanne Liu. Leanne, can you give us a little background on your project?
Sure, thank you. So my poster focuses on joint ventures from a medical information perspective. It compares two joint ventures that Sanofi had with two different alliance companies to highlight the different approaches taken during each collaboration. I look at the methods and strategies used in each joint venture in order to perform standard medical information functions. So this included creation and review of standard response documents, answering medical inquiries at a call center, conducting literature review, and even some secondary functions like creation of an AMCP dossier. So really the purpose of the poster was to identify what worked in each joint venture and how it could be applied to joint ventures that Sanofi or any other company may participate in the future.
Do you think that joint venture collaborations will increase in the future?
So as my poster alludes to, I definitely feel that joint venture collaborations will increase in the future. One of the obvious trends that we see now in the pharmaceutical industry is that there is an increased demand for innovative drugs. However, this also means increased costs and also increased risks. Joint ventures are opportunities for pharmaceutical companies to strategically combine their resources and also their expertise to maximize the likelihood of success. For example, a lot of times now you see smaller biotech companies partnering with larger pharmaceutical companies. In these instances, the larger pharmaceutical company has the resources and also the experience when it comes to marketing a product, whereas the biotech company provides the innovative new drug. Of course, this is just one example, but I definitely feel that this is something that you'll see more often, especially in the future.
Thanks. What do you think can be done to assure a positive joint venture experience?
So in my poster, I actually define key success factors of a joint venture from a medical information perspective. And this was based off of the learnings from the two joint ventures that I compare in my poster. I just want to start off by saying that every joint venture and every relationship is unique. So there's really no blueprint or one-size-fits-all template for how things should be done. However, I was able to identify some key factors to ensure successful collaboration. The first one is being efficient. So knowing each company's existing policies and procedures and determining which approach best uses the available resources that each company has. The second one is knowledge. So clearly defining each company's responsibilities and making sure that everyone from both medical information groups are on the same page. The third one is collaboration. So respecting company differences, projecting realistic timelines, and having ways of tracking progress of ongoing tasks. So especially in joint ventures, there's a lot of ongoing priorities at the same time. You definitely want to make sure that there's a method of tracking so that nothing falls through the cracks. And ultimately, the most important aspect of a successful joint venture is each company's ability to be flexible and have open communication. So joint ventures are long commitments. This is because medical information is involved in the entire lifespan of a product, from pre-marketing to post-marketing. Both companies must continuously evaluate the way things are being done and adapt best practices as necessary. What worked in the beginning of your joint venture might not work towards the end of it. And this way, you ensure that your product messaging to both internal and external stakeholders is consistent throughout the duration of the joint venture. The main goal of medical information is to obviously answer unsolicited medical questions. So you want to make sure that this is done in an unbiased, consistent manner, especially when you're working with two groups. So again, there's no one right way of doing things in a joint venture relationship, but these are some of the key factors I've identified that should ensure a successful collaboration from a medical information perspective.
Thank you, Leanne. Your insights are very timely given the quickly changing landscape that we see. Our next speaker is Christina Bundra. Christina, building on Leanne's research, you focus on launches in the industry. Can you describe your research?
Thank you, Leslie. I'd be happy to. The purpose of my research project was to identify best practices of effective launches throughout the pharmaceutical industry. The areas that were specifically focused in this research included advisory boards, conference planning, thought leader strategy engagements, and medical training and external unbranded education activities. Essentially, this was a cross-sectional qualitative survey based on a study of pharmaceutical industry employees who were involved in a product launch in the past 5 years. Respondents of the survey were asked to complete at least two of the launch activity sections, again, focusing on those key activities of either advisory boards, conference planning, thought leader strategies, and medical training.
What efficiencies did you identify related to launch strategies?
There were quite a few efficiencies that were related to launch strategies identified based on what was analyzed from the survey results. Some of these efficiencies that we identified in this research included early internal alignment of Congress publication plans, as well as understanding what insights to cover prior to attending key Congresses. Essentially, understanding what data the company wanted to present at that upcoming meeting and what thought leaders to engage with regarding those data releases. In addition, another efficiency was around setting objectives that align with the medical and brand strategies, and essentially enhancing the collaboration between both medical as well as commercial. Another efficiency that was identified was around proactively identifying key congresses and activities, as well as developing robust plans for key opinion leaders meetings, as well as appropriate debriefing post-congresses and data release activities.
Thanks. What steps do you think can be taken to ensure a successful launch?
So a launch is a cross-functional effort across many teams at a pharmaceutical company. And some of these steps that are key to ensure a successful launch include early alignment between medical and commercial, as well as continuing to work across matrix teams. Ultimately, a launch is a very collaborative effort throughout the organization. So making sure that everyone is kept in the loop around key activities is essential. Additionally, proactive planning and then also not reacting to the competition always plays a key role in ensuring a successful launch. Another important activity is regular communication with launch plans, and whether that is a weekly communication plan, bi-weekly, monthly, or whatever cadence the team decides is appropriate for the upcoming launch. Essentially, a lot of the commonalities behind what makes a successful launch is around increased communication, collaboration across the organization, as well as being proactive to a successful launch.
Thank you, Christina. Our last speaker is Monica Salah. Monica, can you tell us about your analysis of the call center and the PharmD degree?
Yes, thank you, Leslie. Of course. So over the 11 months that a PharmD was observed in a call center, a significant decrease was noticed in the inquiries being escalated to the Baxalta Global Medical Information Department. And that was for the medical information manager to handle. Prior to staffing PharmD at the call center, the total inquiries for both the complex and highly complex inquiries were an average of 40 cases per month. However, when the call center staffed with a PharmD, the number of inquiries escalated, decreased significantly to about 19 cases per month. Then we looked at complex and highly complex separately, And the number of complex cases escalated to Baxalta from the call center was about 32 cases before we hired a PharmD. The number of highly complex cases was about 7 per month before the PharmD and decreased about 0.5 cases after we hired the PharmD. The top thing we looked at was the turnaround time per inquiry. Having a PharmD hired at the call center decreased the turnaround time for the complex inquiries by 13 days and the highly complex inquiries by 15.7 days.
So do you think that a PharmD degree should be required for pharmacists that work in a call center?
While there's no right or wrong answer for this, every company has to find the call center model that works best for them. For Baxalta, we thought it would be best fit to have a pharmacist with a PharmD degree given our highly complex nature of our disease states. And while a pharmacist with an RPH would be more than suitable for a call center position, a pharmacist with a PharmD brings an increased level of qualification to the call center in terms of the level of clinical expertise in handling complex and highly complex inquiries. A pharmacist with a PharmD has a skill set needed to perform the extensive literature search, analyze and summarize the data, and develop the custom response that is suitable for the audience requesting the information. Many companies, however, still employ RPHs to handle Tier 1 inquiries rather than Tier 2 or 3, which requires subject matter experts.
So I'm curious, can you tell us how you think working in a call center enhances the medical information experience overall?
Of course. A call center enhances the overall medical experience by reserving those highly complex cases that require collaboration with a cross-functional team to be handled by the medical information manager. This provides extra time for the medical information manager to spend on essential duties such as standard response letters and FAQ content development, launch excellence for the products that we have in the pipeline, integration with the cross-functional team, enhanced product knowledge, as well as Congress planning and management.
Thank you, Monica. In closing, I want to thank all three of our speakers today. You can meet our presenters in person and ask questions during their poster session at the DIA Medical Affairs and Scientific Communications 2016 Annual Forum in Kissimmee, Florida, March 21st through the 23rd. Details are available on the DIA website at diaglobal.org. I hope to see you there. Thank you. Let me turn it back over to Judy.
And thank you, Leslie, Leanne, Christina, and Monica, for sharing all your insights with us. As Leslie said, we hope to see you at Medical Communications and Scientific Writing in March.